I felt very clearly called to the ministry, and then 1973, before I got married, I feel God gave me a vision for my life, and that was to be involved in leadership development. Every major responsibility since then has been geared toward developing spiritual leaders. During my seminary days, we were involved with a local church and worked with the deacons and the elders, and then I went to Oklahoma State and started some spiritual leadership development things with some of our key men and women there. And then I went over to Tulsa, Oklahoma with a community ministry and set up what we called a spiritual development center, which was the predecessor of the LDI. And of course, then the LDI began. And Skip and Steve and others invited Paul and I up here. And so I've been involved all my ministry years with leadership development, and that's really where my heart is. And in fact, I was involved up until about May 28th, and that's when I took over this current job. And I realized once I got into the job that I'd taken a right turn with what I should be doing with my life. I was involved with labor cost and cost per conferee and water rights and customer relations and building projects and mice and bighorn and asbestos and fundraising, and you know the list. You've probably figured out there are lots of pressures and lots of things here. All of these things are very needed. They're very spiritual in my mind. They're very strategic for the navigators, for the Glen, for us here. But I feel that they're not; those are not the things that I should be doing with my life, is to give myself to leading a strategic ministry like a conference center. When I took this current job, and Steve and Skip can remember this, also the executive team, I told everybody that before I took it that I was the interim director until December. And in December, I will have thought through what my long-term direction would be as related to the Glen, or my long-term tenure. It was interesting to me that as Steve interacted with the USLT, the administrative leadership team that was in operation then, and a few other people, that everybody agreed that it would be good for me, but it was not long-term. They all said somewhere between 2 and 5 years. In fact, one group said, 1 year, start looking for your new director immediately. So anyway, I came in as a short-term person. And as I spent some time back in early November digesting what God wanted me to do with my life and what He had been teaching me through this job, I was just amazed. In fact, I wrote out about a 6-page paper, and I'd like to mention a couple things here. I wrote down one question: what is God teaching me through this responsibility? And you probably, if you've talked with me or heard me in some of the family councils, you probably gleaned some of these things. One, to be willing to fail in the eyes of many others if I'm in God's will. To relate in Christ-like love and unity with those I strongly disagree with. To turn me to Him and expand my faith for humanly impossible situations. And examples are carriage house finances, our staff housing out at Ridgeview, asbestos, water rights, staff reaction to price increases, and things like that. Another one would be to force me to acknowledge and identify and deal with my emotions, which is something that Paula and my close friend Ralph have been coaching me on, and I think this is God's way of teaching me how to do that. To deepen my communication with Paula, to learn how to deal with opposition, and then there are others, but those are just the ones I mentioned. Another thing I wrote down, another question I answered: what are my current pressures in this job? The first one, without hesitation, is the conviction that I'm out of my vision and calling. I'm not doing what God wants me to do. However, when I took that, I didn't know that. Another, I'm emotionally depleted by being the visible and emotional target of NAV staff for any changes at the Glen. And then there's no vehicle to respond to charges. Basically, I was guilty, or we were guilty until proven innocent, when memos were mass-produced and sent around the country. Most of you don't know about that stuff, so that's just... And then the financial focus I'm forced into. Before I became a Christian, my goal in life was to be a millionaire by 3 years ago. and I picked the wrong profession. But I really was repulsed by the total financial focus that I had, and I felt when God put me in this job, I had to get back to a financial focus, and so some of the old temptations started coming up again. Now, they weren't personally related, but dealing with money and dealing with costs and things like that. Then I wrote down why I shouldn't continue is at the Glen in the long term. I believe it's out of the range and boundaries of my calling. I believe it's a spiritual ministry, but one I don't feel called to do long term. I'm spending my time and emotional resources almost exclusively on the financial issues, facility issues, conference services, and system problems here at the Glen, as opposed to developing leaders. Okay, now I'm not saying there's anything wrong. In fact, I think it's very strategic and important, both for the navigators, for us here, and for the Christian world that's involved here. So, and then there were other things too. Then I wrote down why I took the current job. And, you know, that's something you have to ask. If you realize you're not in the right place, you have to figure out, now, why in the world did I do that in the first place? One of them that I wrote down was a sense of obligation and desire to serve my leadership, Skip and Steve. I feel very close and have the highest regard for those two guys, so I did it out of a sense of obligation. Another reason, a sense of responsibility toward the LDI. Now, this is what I wrote down. I don't think this would happen, but I wrote it down as a worst-case scenario. It might fold if I wasn't here. And just because of all the trauma we were going through back in last spring. And basically what I meant there is that I wanted to protect and provide for, you know, the Glen and for the LDI, something that we all were committed to. But I realized that that was a wrong motivation because God's job is to protect and provide, not Reinhardt's. So I was, needless to say, pretty humbled to realize that I was trying to take on the role of the Holy Spirit and Christ, the head of the church. Another reason was a tinge of pre-Christian drives to excel in leadership and have a leadership title. Another one would be an awareness of my leadership gifts and capacities. Another one, which I feel very strongly about, is the heart to see Glen Eyre and the LDI succeed. So what I'm saying is that I had good motives, except maybe in one of those that I wrote, but I find that they were inadequate to carry me long term. So then I presented all this material. I sat on it for a little more than a week and presented it to Steve Prenzner and Skip Gray on about the 18th of November. And in doing that, I basically put my neck on the organizational block, and I could have had it chopped off. Because what I'd done is taken on a responsibility and say, now I have it. What I see now from my understanding of what the headship of Christ means and my own vision, my own gifts, my own calling, that this is not what I should be doing. And so I asked to be transferred to another job in 6 to 18 months, realizing that it takes a long time to go through a process. We've just gone through about a six-month process back last year before I took over this job. So that's pretty much the process. I asked to be relieved as soon as possible or as long as 18 months, which would have fulfilled my 2 years. And, of course, in reality, I would have been willing to do that and am, if that's what it takes. However, that's speeded up just a little bit. Steve will tell you about that in a minute. But my next job is a job in the area I want to be involved in, and that's leadership development through the Fundamentals of the Ministry project that we're doing for the Worldwide NAVs, and then to be involved in the Human Resources Development Task Force for the U.S. NAVs. So I'll split my time and work for Paul Stanley as soon as the transition is completed. Let me say a couple of things here. What I did in this job, I have no regrets. I fulfilled the job description I was given to the best of my ability as I understood it from Steve and Skip. I'm committed to you folks, to the Glen, to the LDI, and whatever has to happen to make those succeed. And what I am trying to do is walk by faith, understanding and trying to relate to Christ the head the best way I can, regardless of the consequences, whether they be material consequences or positional or organizational consequences. I'm trying to walk by faith, so that's my heart. And my advice to you is to walk by faith. You know, let the fears be put aside, organizational consequences, financial consequences, whatever, just walk by faith. That's my advice. So that's what I have, Steve. I think you're up.
Thank you. After Stacy told me his good news for Modern Man on November the 18th, and he picked me up off the floor, then we began to discuss the ramifications of that and what we needed to do. But then before that, Stacy had said he wanted to get lunch with me, and there were a couple of things he wanted to share, sure enough, there were a couple of things he wanted to share. But I would just say that in discussing the thing that day and since then with Stacy, I stand very much in respect of what he has done in getting away and getting with God and asking the Lord what he would have him do at this point in his life. And it's, in fact, I'm kind of overwhelmed because it is hard. What he's saying in making a statement that he would like to be transitioned to another job in the organization does make him very vulnerable. And all kinds of things can happen. And but I believe what he's done is he's stepped out in faith and courage in terms of what he believed God wanted him to do, and God has honored that. And the package that the U.S. leadership team has put together for Stacy's new job that he's mentioned in terms of leadership development and the fundamentals of the ministry and all were, I believe, the thing could not have been packaged any better from what Stacy had outlined to me, the kinds of things he was interested in. So God honored that. It was risky, though. But that's where he has us usually live, isn't it? It's things are risky. So in the middle of all of this, the U.S. leadership team had also begun a process to rethink the entire purpose of Glen Erie. What should the Glen be about? What is the overall function? And this has to be done about every 5 years or so to make sure we still are current and is our purpose correct and on target. So this was going on. And so in the middle of all of that process, I presented another little variable to go in the equation, and that is that Stacy he's willing to stay for whatever, 18 months or so if we need that, but ideally we ought to find the job that fits him more suitably. That's what he would prefer. So all of this is seemingly then up in the air for discussion and working through and praying and seeking the Lord to see what he would have for us. And the U.S. leadership team has spent a lot of time the whole matter of Glen Erie. And the recent statement that's come out as far as a statement of purpose for the Glen and LDI and everything going on this piece of real estate is they feel that Glen Erie, the purpose ought to be to serve as the home of the Navigators and also serve as a conference center and serve as a resource to our U.S. mission. And that last statement is a very broad statement. because the U.S. mission is about a number of things. There's much going on. So the whole matter of the LDI that you were involved in is one aspect of being a resource to the mission statement, but there are almost an unlimited number of other things that are possibilities for the Glen to be involved in. And then what the U.S. leadership team says from there is that's up to the Glen leadership to figure out what are those other things where they can best serve the U.S. mission. But those are the three broad parameters of what the Glen ought to be about. Well, then after that discussion, or in the midst of that and along with it, the whole matter of who ought to be the person to come take Stacy's place. And just a little history on this whole process. Stacy mentioned that going back to about 4 or 5 years ago, Skip came as the Glen Eyrie director, and Stacy came to direct the LDI, and Bob Stevens came as the operations manager for the Glen. And then 6 months or so ago, we took the LDI and the Glen operations, and we brought those together for Stacy to be heading those up. And so now it's basically Skip, and Stacy has the day-to-day things of the broad picture. So who would be his replacement, or how do we approach all of that? And when in my mind, because of the strategic nature of the Glen, this is our international home. This is the focal point of the organization. This is where people's roots are. The staff come here to come back home. And it is extremely strategic. And so in bringing that to the USLT, they said, yes, we need to have the best person in the work that we can think of come to head up the functions on the Glen. Now, who is that? And in boiling the thing down, we felt like it was probably going to be one of the U.S. leadership team members. And that is where it ended up. And in fact, Bob Sheffield, by unanimous consent of the team, felt like he was the person to do that. And then, of course, the question becomes, is Bob content to do that? And I would say to you that not only is he content, but he is chomping at the bit to get involved. He is extremely excited and can't wait. And then in the course of the meeting where this decision was zeroed in on, we talked about transition time. And I mentioned again that Stacy had said 6 to 18 months or whatever we would need. And Bob says, well, you know, if I don't make the summer conference scene and I'm not on the scene at that time, that's not going to be good. And I said, that's right, you'll lose a year if you don't get in on the summer conferences. So he says, okay, well, maybe then April or May ought to get involved in that. Well, as the day went on, he said, boy, you know, if Stacy is ready to move into his other assignment, I'm ready to go. And why couldn't we start transitioning earlier? And, of course, I talked with Stacy on that and how did he feel. And basically what we've set up is as of January 1, we will begin the process of transitioning, and Bob will come over and begin to get involved with all of us. So I just thought, wow, you talk about the hand of God at work and the working of the Spirit of God coming into a situation, it's overwhelming. Well, then you got more issues to deal with because now we have another situation, and what about Bob's job? He is the Western Division Director for the work, and that leaves another little opening when he moves from that to take the Glen. And what do we do with that? Well, Bob went to his team and asked how they would feel about this, first of all, his taking the Glen Eyrie job, and described the issues, the kinds of things he'd be getting involved with. And they were enthusiastic about it and said, "Bob, that's a good fit for you." Well, then who takes Bob's slot? And they unanimously said, Darrell Sanders is the person to do that. Darrell is currently the field director for the Northwest region, all of that area down to Northern California. So Darrell will be assuming Bob's previous job as the Western Division director. And even in discussing that with Darrell and the team, it's obvious that God had already begun to do some things there in Darrell's heart and the team's heart, and the groundwork was prepared. And so you look at it in terms of what the Spirit of God was doing all the way through. It's very encouraging to see that His hand is in the thing. So Bob will be coming on board, and Stacy has mentioned that he will be taking the job at working with leadership development on an even broader scale than what he's been doing with the LDI and so forth, and that's a tremendous fit. As far as Skip will continue to reside in the Pink House. He will continue to handle the corporate PR for the organization. He'll continue to scare up thousands of physicians around the world to get the vision and maintain that network of international, really, ministry that he's got going. His recruiting for China and the Asian ministry, and basically continue to do the kinds of things that he's been involved with. And then I would just like to point out a couple of things, too, in this whole process. And I'd like to say, first of all, how much I have appreciated Stacy and the job he has done. And someone mentioned to me that on hearing a little bit about this, they said, you know, we always form opinions when we hear things. And you could say, well, boy, what a waste. Because Stacy essentially gave up the job in the LDI, and he came and did this job with a Glen, and it was only a short time, and now he's on to something else. And boy, what a mistake, what a waste, and any number of things we could logically conclude. But unfortunately, God does not work with in terms of the way our logic works, and His ways are higher than our ways. And I would say that in the time Stacy has taken this job, I know he has done things that we have wrestled with for 30 years with the Glen. He has brought some of the costing things that he has set up, with many of you have been involved in, with task forces and all, to come to grips with the issues that we have never had a handle on. And his whole ability to bring the thing together and unify, you know, I have to take my hat off to him and just say thank you. And I don't believe it has been a mistake for 1 minute. And it's just he's come in and done the job about 10 years quicker than I had desired. But anyway, it's just a tremendous contribution he's made. And I think he's done the work that the Lord gave him to do. So, no point in prolonging things after that. Then, another thing occurs to me when something like this comes up and changes are about, that there are a number of implications to you. And in talking with Hal, there's one very important implication that I think we all need to be aware of. And Hal, maybe you could come share with us just a minute on that. Did you get the point on just a minute?
Yeah. I asked him if I'd have an hour, and he says, well, That'll only take half hour. Well, you're thinking, another change. And my thought was, hey, get used to it. The world changed when you came into it, and you cried out for change very few hours after you were born, wanting that diaper to be changed. And changes will continue until you leave this body. So get used to it. In fact, I was saying in 2 Corinthians 3:18, I was talking this morning with my dentist in Bible study. I had shared this with him last week, and he shared it two or three times during the week with someone else. But God wants us to change. It says we are all changed from one degree of glory to another by God's Spirit as we behold Christ. And we need to be changing. Change, without change, there is no growth. When you go home, mom or dad or friends are going to say, hey, you really changed. Great. Well, Glen Eyrie is changing. And one thing it does, it creates anxieties. I wonder if I'll still have my job. What will happen to me? What will happen to the LDI? And all these anxieties are going to come. And some of you are going home to some difficult situations over Christmas. I know Yanti just got a phone call. And she made the phone call because God had worked in her heart to call home and found out that her dad is not expected to live. And so she goes home to that trauma. And then to take this change and the anxieties that this can bring and go, we don't need that. So what can we do about it? Well, the Bible says that we should take our anxieties, be anxious for nothing, but instead pray about everything. Commit these things to the Lord. He's in control. God knows what's going on. And believe Him. Believe it. Remember I talked about the pitfalls of at Eagle Lake? And I've talked to several of you more than once about that. That's one of the pitfalls, is anxiety. Another is gossip. And go and say, what in the world are they doing? Don't they know, you know, can't they see God's will without making all these mistakes? If you think they're mistakes. And we can begin to talk like that and sow discord, dissension among the troops. And that's one of the things that Proverbs says that God hates. And you've all heard me share that. I won't go into that again. But see, rather, let's believe God. This morning, in this Bible study, we were in Ephesians 1. And exciting times, we talked about these verses here. As Paul is praying, mentions his prayer for the Ephesians. And let's see. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. We talk, what does it mean to be enlightened? Well, the light is shine. They're opened up to where you see, to you understand. Understand what? Well, the hope of your calling, or hope to which you've called, the riches of His glorious inheritance. And then it says, and His incomparable great power. We talked about that. What is His power? The power that raised Jesus from the dead. And John asked me this morning, he says, those last few verses, I don't really understand them. So he talked about them. It says that power that placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church. The power that placed Jesus Christ over everything. As I see in that, everything, that's sovereign. God is in control. God does know what's happening. God's in control of the circumstances of your life. And He just comes back, I need to believe that. For you in my class, I'll take this opportunity to share from my quiet time. That's what I encourage them to do. My quiet time this morning was in Ephesians 4. I prayed for you all, not knowing that this was going to happen today. It says, it was He who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for what? To prepare God's people for the work of service. And that's one of the things I pray, that you all, that the leadership would be faithful in preparing you for the work of the service of God. And why? So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith. Not dissension, but unity. Let's pull together in this change. Change is not easy, but if we work together on it, it makes it easier. Unity in the faith, and why? Or unity in faith in the knowledge of the Son of God, and what? And become mature. Change, let change be part of the process of your maturing in Jesus Christ. And how you handle it will make the difference. So, use it as part of the process. Believe God. Believe that He's in control. If someone comes to you with some word of dissension, say, wait a minute. God's in control. Let's believe Him for this. And encourage one another. So, and as you go home for Christmas and think about this, thank God for what He's doing, that God is bringing about change, and believe that when you come back, December the 26th or whenever, your job will still be here. Nothing's going to change. Don't be anxious about that. And if Satan throws in the darts, then attack him and defend with the Word of God. That's what God tells us to do. So again, the underlying thing is what? Believe God and grow to maturity. So let's work together. Thanks.
Oh, amen. I would just like to emphasize a couple of things that Hal alluded to. You might ask, well, in terms of Bob Sheffield coming in, is he going to eliminate the LDI? Is he going to eliminate my job? How mean is this guy? He's pretty mean, yeah. I can tell you right now that he plans to do absolutely nothing. For a while. He has said that basically what he wants to do is come over here and learn and observe, and he doesn't intend to change anything. The LDI is still intact. That what Hal says is right. When you come back on December 26th or 8th or probably even January 1, your job will still be there. He's not coming in with an axe and planning to level everything and put it the way it ought to be. And in fact, he himself has said, I'd be foolish to do that. We've worked long and hard a number of years for the Glen and the LDI to be where it is today. And so those are not his intentions at all, to destroy that framework. And also, just to emphasize again, the thinking of the U.S. leadership team, the Glen is strategic. It is very strategic, and I think in terms of offering Bob Sheffield and saying that's the kind of person we need, to me, communicates tons that yes, it is strategic, that we're willing to take someone in charge right now, in charge of one third of the entire U.S. work, the Western Division, and say we think you're the man to run Glen Eyrie, is quite a statement. And just a little more on Bob, I think you'll find him to be a very much of a servant leader. He's a motivator. He's an inspirer, and he's a total joy to be around. I've I've worked with him and for him over the last, about 10 years. And he's a total delight. Once he sees that things need to be done, he's not afraid to make a decision and move on something. And at times I can recall where he's moved on things prematurely, and I would bring it to his attention and say, Bob, I'm not sure that was the right thing to do. And he says, oh, gee, yeah, I see what you're saying. Humility, very humble in the servant spirit. He says, well, what do we need to do to make it right? And I think you'll pick that up in him very quickly. And as of January 1, we'll start to transition, as we said, so you'll get to know him pretty soon here. What I'd like to do now is to have Skip come and share any thoughts that he has, and then maybe we could open it up, Skip, for some questions, any questions that would come to mind.
You can answer them.
I can answer the question. Great. I don't need that.
Oh. First question is, how do you make the microphone work? Paul says in Romans to give honor to whom honor is due, and I have just two brief remarks. One is to honor the USLT. They have demonstrated, in my view, tremendous sensitivity and wisdom and good judgment. I was just absolutely astounded. Maybe it's unbelief on my part or a lack of faith or something that someone as strategic and clearly gifted as Bob Sheffield would be asked to take the assignment and willing to take it. And I'm just looking forward to working for Bob with real eagerness and enthusiasm. Early in November, before Stacy shared his thoughts with Steve and myself, Dr. Bob Clinton from Fuller Seminary spent a whole day with the USLT, and we talked about gifts and blending your job with what you're gifted to do. And the sensitivity of the USLT to that teaching and that emphasis and finding your place. And then working and praying and dialoguing with individuals so that, you know, Stacy's really in a place where he fits, and where Buzzy and I are in a place where we fit, which is hospitality and travel and ministry and motivation and mentoring, and where we can do the thing that God has called us to do and that we enjoy doing. It's just absolutely phenomenal. And so we're excited, and I just think it's a tremendous credit to the wisdom and maturity and good judgment of Terry and the DDs and all the guys and Joyce that they would make this kind of a decision. Very, very exciting. And those of you who know Bob will grow in your appreciation. Those of you who haven't gotten to meet him will really enjoy him. He and Nancy are a great, great couple. The other is to commend Stacy. He was able to do in 6 months what no navigator in living memory could do in 30 years. And Steve mentioned to get some handles on things, to get to the bottom of some things, to work his way into it because of his background, even though it wasn't necessarily the thing that he enjoyed doing or felt gifted or called to do. Just a tremendous job. And it brings up the other side of the coin on this matter of gifts. There will be times when God asks you or me to do things that we're not gifted to do. We think, now what in the world is God up to? And doesn't he know that I'm a phlegmatic and, or a sanguine, or I'm a melancholic and I have no business trying to pull this off, and, or whatever. And yet God, in his wisdom, sometimes asks us to do things, and we look at ourselves and we look at the task and say, well, boy, that's a square hole and I'm a round peg, and it doesn't make sense. And Fortunately, God doesn't solicit our opinion on the curriculum. He just says, this is what I want you to do for now. I want to stretch you. I want to teach you to walk by faith. I want to use you. I want to get the glory. And if you can do it, I'll get the glory. And there are times when we need to do things that we're not cut out to do. And then God gets the glory. And Stacy has done a beautiful job. But because he's not, obviously God did it. I mean, if Stacy were cut out for it, we'd say, well, Stacy did a good job. Well, the truth is he did a great job. But it was so much different from his own heart and vision and desire and gifts that we just have to say, God did it. And that's exciting. And I really appreciate, and I know Steve does, his loyalty and teamwork and servant heart. And God will honor him and use him tremendously in the coming weeks and months. And we're not going to lose Stacy. We're just, we're gaining Chef. We're not losing Stace. And he'll still be around, be a resource and be a friend and be a counselor. And that's very exciting. So I want to honor the USLT. It's exciting to see their responsiveness to God and Chef's responsiveness to God. And I wanted to honor Stacy because he's done a beautiful job, he and Paula. And thank them. And we haven't lost Stace. We're just gaining Chef. You know, it's like when your daughter gets married. You don't lose a daughter. You just gain a bathroom, one of those kind of, you know. it's win-win all the way. Win-win all the way around. Some of you will figure that about halfway through the message tonight with a Christmas party. That's okay. So any comments, questions, clarifications? You ask the questions, I'll send them over to Steve. Yes, sir?
I heard that Bob Sheffield is an ex-hockey player.
No, I'd say he's still a hockey player, but just not as often. yeah, he played pro Canadian League hockey. And he still plays a mean racquetball game. He and Stacy go at it every, what, Thursday afternoon? Yeah, whenever you can do. And he's an outdoorsman, athletic, great condition, good troop. Yeah, he'll help you if you want to play hockey. He can give you some good hints. Anything else? Jeff? How the merging of the Glen and the LDI have gone? Was it discussed, you say? Yeah, I think the merger has taken place and has been very successful, and Stacy superintended the transition and the merging, and now Chef can take it and carry it from there. Oh, I don't think so. Stacy, you want to comment on that or Steve? Okay.
Doing great.
You know, even anything else. And Hal's remarks about change. It's true. I mean, it's just absolutely true. And growth and change are synonymous. When you stop growing or stop changing, you just died. And God is totally committed to see that we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. And every time there is a change, leadership or structure or organization, it just forces us to go back to the Lord, which is where we belong all the time anyway. You know, so it's just constantly back to Christ. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He alone. And that's great. We can count on Him. And everything else is going to change. Any other comments, or maybe some from the team, you know? Ralph, anything you want to add, or Bill, or the dean, or... We're not trying to shut anybody off. Yes, sir?
It's a somber moment, but it's exciting, too, to see how God works. And I wonder if it would just be appropriate for us to express our appreciation to Stacy Lyon.
Oh, amen to that. Yeah! Oh, you bet. That's true. It's somber and joyful. It's exciting. God is in control of your life. You bet. And he was absolutely right. And it'll always have the mark of Stacy's perspective and planning and input, because he's just going to keep doing leadership development in a broader level, really, throughout the entire work. So we'll always have the benefit of the perspective the Lord has given to him. That's great. Yeah, great. Well, Stacy, will you be working with the LDI team here at all?
It's unclear to what extent. It's unclear at this point to what extent. I have a couple of courses I'm supposed to teach, and we haven't talked about those.
Okay, it's unclear. Have to be dialogue with, talk, you know. I'm sure there are a lot of unanswered questions. A lot of little bits and pieces have to come together. But... So that you can make that a matter of prayer, that the Lord will guide Chef and Stace and Hal and the others who will be involved in that process. Dean?
The day after Stacy shared, speaking with the team last week, the next day was a very bad day for me. Somewhat angry and not ready to I don't want to go through the whole process all over again, resist with the process, and all that sort of stuff, all that emotion stuff came through. And so I think it's a natural process that you may go through, it was for me anyway. But I think I had to go through that process and get it done, and then get back to God and his perfect perspective. So Lord has to deal with my emotions initially on it, and so to resolve it and see someone to help me see what he was doing, and not just take the first response and my first reaction and play on that. I didn't encourage everyone else to heal in a similar way. It didn't hit me for the next day, but it got a similar feeling. Some thoughts came from the process.
Excellent. Good. It's true. And it's super preparation for the future, whatever God has for you, as far as career, as far as ministry, as far as marriage, as far as family. You're going to experience change, and there will be emotions, and then the Bible says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophets. So by the power of the Holy Spirit, you take control of your own spirit. And you have a quiet heart, and you wait and watch God work it out. Anything else?
Let's say we in this time, just really give thanks to the Lord Jesus and just remember him through the change, that without him, we would really fail, and we could not go through the change. And it kind of turns a sour note into a joyful spirit. Great to see.
That's right. Amen. Now we're going to do that. We're going to close in prayer here. I'm going to turn back over to Steve. Good. Okay. Steve, thank you.
Oh, thank you, Skip. A few days ago, went up to Breckenridge to be with Skip, and he and I, well, I found out why everybody likes to go to Breckenridge. He and I spent the day doing what everybody does when they go to Breckenridge, talking about Glen Eyrie. So told somebody I didn't feel like we totally utilized the city like we could have on that day. But it was good. Well, if there are no other comments or questions, why don't we pray and give thanks to the Lord and ask Him to continue to lead us. Let's pray. Father, now we do, as was suggested, just bow our knee before You and give thanks to You, Almighty God. We praise Your magnificent name. We glory in You alone. We exalt You and magnify Your name. Father, thank You for who You are. Thank You for Your greatness and Your power. And thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your sovereign hand in every affair of our lives. And Lord, I just want to thank You as well as we have told Stacy to him. I just want to thank You for Stacy and the tremendous job that he has done in serving You and the tremendous heart that he's had to just be available for Your use as You would have him be in whatever function. Thank You for the commitment he has to You and all that he's done for the LDI and the Glen and Lord, just acting faithfully on what You've called him to do. Thank You for that. And Father, I also want to thank You for the way You have worked in knitting all of this process together, in being in on every aspect of discussion and deliberation that's taken place over the past months related to the overall purpose of the Glen and who You would have come and take over from where Stacy has been. We thank You for Bob Sheffield, and we pray that You would anoint him, Lord, for this job. We pray that You would fill him with Your Spirit and that You'd cause him to lead in wisdom, the wisdom that comes down from above and not the wisdom that is according to the world. We pray that You would put Your hand on him and cause him to have sensitivity in areas that are of that nature. We pray that we would be faithful to uphold him in prayer, Lord, that You'd bring it to our minds to lift up this new leader coming in our midst. And I pray, Father, that each person here would be just positively ministered to through Bob's leadership that is to come. So we ask You to continue to lead in all of this, Lord, that Your hand would not leave us. And Father, we realize that we are totally dependent on You. If You were to remove Your hand, then we would fall flat on our face. And we thank You for that and pray that we would always be in that position and never think that we have the ability or knowledge or wisdom to take things in our own hands. But Lord, keep us on our knees before You and dependent upon You and in always looking to You to meet our needs. And Father, I want to thank You for each person here, that You've sovereignly brought each one here to learn more of You, learn more about themselves. And Father, I pray that You would just continue to work in each person's heart here, that You would give them more awareness of how You've gifted them, more awareness of how You've put them together and what You're calling them to do. And Lord, ultimately that each of us would desire to serve You and bring glory to Your magnificent name in whatever we're doing. That because of what we're doing, people would see us, but they would look at Jesus and they would say, praise Your magnificent name. And Lord, in this time of the season when each of us is either going home or going to relatives or friends and to be there over Christmas. Father, I pray that You would be in each of these homes. I pray that Your powerful presence would be there and that You would point people to Jesus Christ. I know many have parents and friends and brothers and sisters who are not believers. And Lord, not through the dominance of their lives, but because of the fragrance of Jesus in them, I pray that you would use them to make an impact in these homes, that they would be a witness, that people would see Jesus Christ and perhaps bring them just a step closer to receiving you as their personal Savior. And we realize that's the only reason for this season. It's Jesus. And so we thank you, we praise you, we exalt you to the glory of God. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.